Well, all right. So, not long ago, drugs were my thing. I'm proud to say that I'm a believer in the power of our Lord and Savior. My name is Eder.
Eder.
I recall the first day I walked through those doors in late February 2014. I remember the guilt, doubt, emptiness I felt. I was a skeptic, a non-believer, a sinner with no shame or regards for anyone else but my next fix. I'm glad to say that those days are behind me now. Through Celebrate Recovery, I have found the joy in life, a joy that I had not experienced in quite some time. I was born in northwest Mexico in a small city near the Sea of Cortez across the Baja Peninsula called Los Mochis. I lived there till I was 10. I had a great childhood from what I can recall. I had all the friends a kid could ever want, and I was quite the athlete, playing year-round sports. My parents were involved in everything me and my sister did, and they attended every game and school event. Growing up, religion was not a big part for our family. We would perhaps attend Sunday service once or twice a month at our neighborhood Catholic church. On our dad's side of the family, spiritualism was practiced. My great-grandmother had built a temple for healing practices, which is still in operation today. I loved the way the temple smelled, the way the floor stayed cool in hot summer days, and the way the sunlight lit up the altar. My favorite part was drinking the water we gave to every guest. It was always cold and refreshing going down. It had a faint mineral taste, which I really enjoyed. And I still, on my return, I just want to know if it tastes as great as I remember. As a family, we would frequent the beach year-round. It was only 20 minutes away. In the summer of 95, we came to visit my grandma, who lived in L.A. for a few weeks. I remember it was a really cool trip because I went to Disneyland for the first time, and I had lots of cool stories to tell my friends back in Los Mochis. A year later, my parents mentioned that we would come back to visit Grandma, but they failed to mention that we would not be coming back home. I started sixth grade in L.A., and school was frustrating because English was hard for me at that time. I had a hard time understanding and adapting to the whole new way of life. I came to Oregon in the winter of 96. I remember crossing the Abernathy Bridge and the McDonald's being underwater. So I found myself in awe at this place right from the beginning. I liked the gray skies, the rain, and the earthy smell in the air. Here in Oregon, I completed sixth grade, and although my English was poor, I was able to get my point across and understand the subject. I was able to make friends quickly on the playground, and girls thought my accent was cute. I really liked it here. Everything was green and the air smelled great, unlike LA, where you can taste the car muffler every time you breathe. And unlike my hometown, where you can count the times it rains on one hand. Junior high came along. I had a hard time fitting in. I would get made fun of my accent, but I didn't seem to care. I was interested in making people laugh anyway. I became disruptive in class and goofed off all the time. I would often find myself in detention, and my parents were not aware because of the language issue. During this time, I also became close with my emotions. I would keep all things to myself. I felt like my parents didn't care because both of my parents were always working. By the time high school came around, I had dropped my heavy accent, and I had learned how to make people laugh. I had no problem making friends. My parents were not involved in school due to the language barrier. And I took advantage of that because I thought I was clever. I was my own translator at parent-teacher conferences. And I would often edit the meeting on the spot to my advantage. I would skip class often. And as often as I wanted, and I would force my own excuse absences. On the plus side of always skipping, I became very efficient at navigating the streets of Portland. As a slacker, I met and hung out with other slackers like me, and I began experimenting with drugs and alcohol. I was barely getting by in school, passing my classes with C's and D's, until I decided to play sports. I was placed in academic probation in order to be eligible to play, and I found out that I liked applying myself intellectually. The best part about it was not having to make up a translation at parent-teacher conferences. As soccer season approached my senior year, I was named team captain, and I was really proud of earning that. I had worked really hard in the offseason to try to get a scholarship. But during that summer, I was told by doctors at Dornbecker's that I had a benign tumor on my femur, right above my right knee, and that I would need to have surgery soon. Surgery was scheduled to take place soon after season in late December. Unfortunately, doctors decided to change the date to September, and I was sidelined for the whole season, recovering from surgery. A few months passed, and I learned that I was an illegal alien in the U.S. I was denied from the armed forces at a recruitment center. It was a really embarrassing experience to me, and I felt ashamed of who I was. The recruiters told me to come back when I had my papers. Also around that time, the Patriot Act kicked in, and I lost my job for not having the proper documentation. I realized that I would have to keep my identity a secret that I would have to protect with lies. As a student, I realized that I would not be able to qualify for student loans. As a person, I would have to lie to employers in order to get or maintain the job in order to live. I decided then to do the easy thing, to drink alcohol. I was embarrassed and I had resentment towards my parents, but I was not willing to share my thoughts or feelings to them. I was also angered by being sidelined and did not know who to blame. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. If I had only known this verse then, it would have saved quite a bit of buildup, resentment towards my parents. Well, eventually, I graduated with my class in 03. Soon after graduation, I was heading down the wrong path. I consumed drugs and alcohols daily. In May 2004, life changed for me and a few of my close friends. It was unfortunate that the newest member of my group of friends had lost his life at the hands of my best friend. That night in May, I learned that life can change quicker than the blink of an eye. My best friend accidentally hit a ditch and caused the car to flip. I was riding in the car right behind him when all of a sudden I see a cloud of dust. Then all started moving as if I was in a slow motion movie. I recall running to the car, helping the driver get out, and then trying to figure out how to get the passenger out. I began to freak out after a few seconds, which felt like minutes. The passenger was making noise, but I could not see his head. After a few attempts at trying to get him out, it all goes quiet, and this cold yet calm feeling comes to the car. There was no more struggle. He stopped moving and making noise. At this moment, I glanced at the seat where I was sitting no more than 5 minutes before all this had happened. Looking at that seat, I knew that I would not have survived that night. I really think that God told me that night to take a good look at that seat. From this point on, I stopped my heavy alcohol consumption. It was really hard for me to deal with and move on from this accident. I did not talk to anyone about it. I kept it all inside. And what hurt me the most was getting escorted out of the funeral home by my friend's older brother and the look his mother gave me when I was leaving. I was wrecked for a few months, losing sleep, blaming myself, and reliving the accident over and over. Step 8 mentions, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. But I was stubborn, and instead of seeking help, I decided to party on. I kept using drugs as an escape from my thoughts and feelings, but as soon as the drugs would wear off, the thoughts were still there. I went on like this for about a year. I was not able to move on from that night in May until I went to the accident site and asked God and my friend for forgiveness. I felt guilty and responsible for what had happened, and I really think that they both listened to my cry. Days after doing that, I finally was able to move on from that. I began to seek self-awareness through meditation, metaphysical books, and lectures, mostly on YouTube. I stopped using alcohol and other drugs, but continued using pot. Through meditation, I gained a love for nature and began to seek God. I found my calling in life when I joined a boxing gym. I fell in love with the sport. It was everything I needed. In boxing, like in recovery, you get back what you put in. And I had a lot to put in. I used all my encapsulated feelings and emotions as my motivation to train harder. In boxing, I had found my salvation. I was completely sober and most importantly, found a purpose in life. I wanted to convey a feeling through boxing of peace, love, kindness, and I dreamed of becoming a pro. I had a great team and coaches that motivated me by letting me know that I had a shot at making it in the ring. I had been training intensely 6 days a week, 2 to 3 hours a day for 9 to 12 months when my coaches announced that I would have my first fight on January 2006. I made a hurtful decision of going out for my birthday that year in December. I drank and did drugs to celebrate and I hurt my knee while snowboarding. I could barely stand on my leg and my fight was only a month away. I was crushed when I was told that I had to rest for a few months, so I quit boxing. I felt angered by the accident, and I blamed myself for drinking and God for letting this happen to me. Psalm 37:8. Refrain from anger and turn from your wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Ignorance then took over my life, and instead of resting and getting back in fighting form, I turned to drugs once again. I got involved with narcotics, and thankfully that was short-lived. I had highs and lows, and I learned that I was a small fish in a pool filled with sharks. On the positive note, I walked away with any sort of physical harm and learned my lesson. I then decided to earn an honest living, working two jobs. But earning an honest living for me was challenging due to my status. I felt that I was enslaved to working only restaurants and janitorial. But I wanted more than that. I wanted to have a college experience, a degree, and a good job. From 21 to 25, I became a bartender and worked hard, earning enough income to pay out of pocket for community college courses, only to fall a few credits short of a transfer degree. And however, I knew that state school would cost was higher and I would not be able to afford it without any help, so I stopped attending. While working at the restaurant, I met my girlfriend, recently my wife. She helped me with motivation to not give up, and I even trusted her with my secret of being an illegal. It was somewhere in the third, fourth year of dating when I became bitter as I felt that I could not move forward. All the other couples we knew were busy traveling outside the state, and here I am making excuses to them of why I cannot go like places like even my home country, Mexico. I felt that I was holding my girlfriend back, and I was holding my girlfriend back from fulfilling her dreams of seeing the world together. Through this length of time, I became fascinated with conspiracy. I researched the web countless amount of hours looking at political, esoteric, metaphysical, and religious conspiracies. The more I dug in, the more I became disconnected from my relationships with people. I began to be antisocial, and I never wanted to go out with friends. I just wanted to find new conspiracies, smoke pot all day. I parted ways with my girlfriend in late 2010. I had had it with the way things were going for me. I felt imprisoned by the geopolitical issues. I felt misunderstood, and I was angered by my immigrant label. I was a real nowhere man. I no longer knew what life was like in Mexico, and here I cannot do things like renew my license. I was on a countdown. My ID card was to expire on my birthday, 2012, and I could not renew it. The expiration date also coincided with the 2012 end times hype at the time. So, I wanted the end times to come. I felt like I needed a catastrophe in my life to occur for my life to get better. I thought that by having turmoil and destruction, I would become a useful member of society and that I could be accepted as a person, not an immigrant. In January 2011, I gave up on life. I decided not to deal with the thoughts of imprisonment, so I got onto the electronic music scene. And I found a group of people that had no cause just like me. We were a match for each other. We partied for days at a time, consuming numerous drugs and taking them to extremes. I nearly overdosed on multiple occasions. Drugs became my reality. I had an agenda of self-destruction, and I thought of myself as some sort of shaman as I developed a high tolerance. I became possessed by those drugs and the lifestyle. At the time, I worked at a new restaurant, and I made decent money, and that's how I was able to afford my illicit drug habit. During this part of my life, I no longer knew what a day sober felt like. I avoided close friends and family at all costs because I was afraid that they would discover my habits. I found out on my birthday, late 2011, that I was going to be a dad. I was very excited to hear that. I tapered off my drug consumption, but I did not stop consuming. I had promised my girlfriend that I would stop using multiple occasions, and those promises only lasted a day or two. I kept on using, and I learned that I was an addict not only to the drugs, but also the lifestyle. I wanted to go out and party with the crew, and just to be under the influence. As an effort to quit, I cut off my associates. It worked to a certain extent. I could not get the wide range of drugs I was used to, but an addict will find a way to get what he or she needs. With the birth of our daughter, I knew that I needed to stop, but I could not. I could not come out and reveal the truth now. I was afraid I would disappoint every member of my family. Job 15:5, your sin prompts your mouth. You adopt the tongue of the crafty. As fear took over, it became harder for me to reveal that I was still using. I lied and I lied. As time passed, our daughter grew. My girlfriend began to notice that I was coming up short financially. She began to suspect and instigate that I was still using, but I kept making up lies and I took advantage of her trust. I often thought to myself that deep inside she knows, but she's in denial. I was deceitful and I was possessed by my narcotic addiction, and I would use alcohol and gambling as my cover-ups. I even stole all of my daughter's savings, taking them for my own benefit. I contemplated on coming forth, as I also contemplated on putting an end to it all. My first legitimate effort to quit was in October 2013 by revealing my addiction to my family. Step 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to other human beings the exact nature of our wrongs. I had deeply feared this moment. However, it was liberating for me because my family wanted to help me get better. And I was surprised. It was not how I thought people would have responded. However, being stubborn, I was not willing to get help from places or people. So I continued to fail by relapsing multiple times. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. In late February 2014, I found Celebrate Recovery. I was a skeptic. I had lost my faith years ago, and I did not expect myself to get involved. I had agreed to come just to have people think that I was making an effort to be sober. And was I wrong? I was hooked from my first visit. I will never forget that day. There was a lady giving her testimony at this same podium that night, and she blew me off the water. I could not stop the tears. Her story spoke to me like a message from the Lord. By hearing her testimony, I thought that there is hope for someone like me. I was amazed by her courage to get up in front of people and reveal her life, her secrets, and her fears. I was mesmerized by the power of the Lord and how a person can change. I look back at the sequence of events during the beginning of my recovery, and it is no coincidence. Only the Lord can arrange something like that. Three to four weeks after my first visit, without knowing what a step study was, I signed up for one. And I began my journey into recovery. In step study, I learned so much about how my addiction was able to grab onto me like a parasite. As the step progressed, my appetite for drugs diminished by the lesson. I began to reveal my feelings and things I had kept inside me for so long that were dragging me down to my accountability partners. My sponsor helped me quite a bit by meeting with me outside step study and conversing on the phone to talk steps out or just to talk about everyday things. And I gotta say, I was scared and skeptic on having a sponsor. I didn't have the courage to ask until lesson 4. To the newcomer, find the sponsor. It really helps when you have someone you can call and talk to. Step 3, we made a decision to turn our lives and wills over to the care of God. Nowadays, I have fallen in love with CR. It has taught me to appreciate all that Jesus did for us when he sacrificed himself for our sins. My life has transformed quite a bit in just 1 year. I have learned from the past and dealt with most of my issues. I still struggle with a few defects of character, like communication. I still have the tendency to keep stuff to myself. And I also struggle with compulsive spending, like a friend of mine says. I have a great family that has witnessed my transformation at home and here at CR. I am happily married as of March 21st. I am working hard in school now that I can attend to get the career I want. And I am attending service on Sundays, every Sunday pretty much, and doing Bible study so that I can get to know the Lord. With Celebrate Recovery, step study in small groups, I have learned to let go from the past and be grateful for today. I keep coming back to CR because worship allows me to feel the joy, and small groups allow me to stay focused on my recovery. Thank you.